Statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
It ain't the destination. No, it's about the journey. It ain't where you're headed, but it's how you grow. It ain't about the trophies, but getting back on your feet, walking in your glory. So come on, let's go. It's time for Michelle Speaks. Yes, it is. Michelle Speaks.
Good afternoon, 860 AM listeners. It is your host, Michelle Lawrence, and I am so excited to have yet another hour with you as we discuss one of the four W's: worth, wealth, wisdom, and wellness. But we're going to get the show started the way we always do, and that's acknowledging the one who's made it possible. And we're going to begin with scripture. And this week's scripture comes from a very familiar passage. It's the 62nd Psalm, the 7th through the 12th verse, and it reads as follows. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Surely the lowborn are but a breath. The highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love, and you reward everyone according to what they have done. I've just read for you the 62nd Psalm, the 7th through the 12th verse. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Many of you are familiar with this particular passage, and two of the things that I pull in particular from this scripture is trust in him at all times. Trust in him at all times. And I'm going to stay there just for a second, because there are times where we begin to look at ourselves, especially if there's any remnant of success. We lose sight that the very skills and talents and gifts that he has given to us are the things that allowed us to have that success. And somehow we get to embrace it as, look at what I've done. Look at where I am. Look at my position. And what God says is, power belongs to me. Anything that I impart in you is not for you, but so that I would get the glory through your life. And so I'm asking all of our listeners to be mindful of your thoughts and your ways and all things that are going on in your life. Acknowledge him and trust him at all times. Trust him when things are going extremely well. Trust him when they are flat, and trust him when you are in your valley experience. Trust him at all times, because he is the ultimate deliverer and he is the one that will bring us through. It also says that we tend to look at other folks, especially if someone else has something that I didn't have. Someone else gets someplace faster than I do. I am on the same path, or at least I thought I was. How is it that my trajectory is not the same? It's not about who gets there first. It's about running the race that's set before you. Don't get caught up in extortion. Don't get caught up in things, how someone else got there. You don't know what they did to get there.
That's true.
Yeah, I have my sister in here saying that's true. You don't know the price they paid. You don't know the crimes they may have committed, but you also may not be willing for the sacrifices it takes. Many folks want the end result, but not many want the work. Yeah. Not many want the work, but your path, your experiences is designed specifically for you so that you can have the encounter and the experiences that will ultimately shape you into the man and the woman that God has called you to be. But all of that still goes back to remember that power belongs to Him and to trust in Him. When we do those things, then we are able to blindly, and some may say foolishly, walk in the path that He has set before us. And so I'm excited about trusting Him. It's not always easy sometimes, especially if you have the tendency to want to stay in control. But when you let go and let God, and remember that power is in His hand, then and only then will you get to experience the true life that He has for you and what is in store for you. Speaking of power belongs to God, that is this week's song by none other than Hezekiah Walker and the Love Fellowship. Come on.
If you know power belongs to God, get up on your feet and clap your hands.
But thank the Lord in all times, for I shall have before Him. My work belongs to God. God has spoken once, and twice have I heard this. My work belongs.
Studio jamming. I love that song, Power Belongs to God, penned by none other than Hezekiah Walker. But what's more exciting to me is about today's show, and it is about purchasing power. And we have three fantastic women who are going to talk to us today in their different lanes with regards to how they are on the road to wealth. And we have none other than Dr. Pamela Jolly in the studio. You have no idea. Those of you who are looking Facebook Live know how ecstatic I am to have her present with me, my dear sister. But on the air with me today is Angel Rich, the founder and CEO of the Wealth Factory Incorporated, a company with a mission to provide equal access to financial literacy across the world. Today, her company designs wealthy life financial literacy education technology games, gaining world-class recognition for the first product, Credit Stacker, an app that teaches students about personal finance, credit management, and entrepreneurship through games and simulation exercises. I can't wait to see that game because we need more of our children learning about finances, and as much as they're learning, I don't even know some of the games out there today. But back to Angel Rich. It has been coined the best financial literacy product in the country by the White House, the Department of Education, and J.P. Morgan Chase. Google named it one of the top 10 apps in the world of 2017. Welcome on the air with me, if you please, Miss Angel Rich. Angel, are you out there?
Yes, hi. Thanks for having me today. I'm very excited to join your radio audience.
So glad to have you on, and I know that you and I have been on LinkedIn for several months, but it's so good to have you actually on the show with me today, Angel. And so we're going to jump right in. Angel, share a little bit about who you were, who you are, and how did you enter into this tech field where you're introducing financial literacy?
Yes. So my app is called Credit Stacker. It's similar to Candy Crush, but instead of swapping around candy, you're swapping around credit types to be able to pay off your debt, achieve a high credit score, and learn from the multiple choice question. We've been named the best financial literacy product in the country by the White House Department of Education and JPMorgan Chase.
And how, what got you on this path to creating this particular app?
Well, actually, in college, I had the opportunity to win Goldman Sachs Portfolio Challenge, at which point I felt as though there was an opportunity to create a game to allow people to live out their financial life without the risk of them actually losing their money. And so that's kind of what made me start it. I feel as though oftentimes people really kind of are scared of finance. So if we put it in a game to make it engaging and kind of reduce their apprehension, it will in turn increase their retention of information and thereby also improve their financial behavior, which we've actually seen a result of from our game.
And so do you find that you have children playing this, or is it more adults? Say more about the audience that you've targeted and the difference that it's made, I would say, across different generations.
Yes, I would say that that has been kind of the most interesting thing that we've discovered. When we originally designed it, it was designed for sort of black youth, if you will. And as time has progressed, we've actually seen it most popular amongst Latin American women, ages 13 to 25. I've even worked with, you know, old white men who have told me that it has helped change their life. I'm currently in L.A. I was walking down the street in the mall about a few days ago, and this lady stopped me, probably about in her 40s, and she let me know that the game actually helped her increase her credit score by 26 points. Mm. So it really does work wonders in real time.
Talk more about how important credit is, and in particular as we are talking about purchasing power and how your app can be a segue into folks getting more prepared around purchasing power.
Yes, well, that's sort of definitely a big question to answer. First of all, I think that people need to know the history of kind of their finances and their family finances. I have a book called History of the Black Dollar that kind of goes over the entire black family's history of our relationship with money. But I think it's, first of all, something that my mother taught me as a child, and I'm so thankful for, is about your financial self-image. Because you will only, and I should write a paper on this, you got it on my mind today now. You will only make as much as you can see yourself making. And when I was younger, and my mother took me through several different evolutions of money. I remember my first check was $260, and it was so much money to me, the teller actually stole $100 from me, and I didn't even notice because I had $160. And it took me like an entire day to notice that the other 100 was missing. Mm. And then as I progressed, I could see myself as having $1,000 in the bank and this, that, and the third. Now my mental mindset is at like $1 million, but that's a whole different tangent. So it's like your financial self-image is very important, because if you are making $100,000 a year, but historically your family has only averaged about $20,000, and that's what you've seen your family and friends manage, and that's how your mother has always operated, you still yourself have the self-image of somebody that can only make $20,000 a year, and therefore you're blowing your money, you're not properly saving, you're not properly building your credit, because you're not sitting there with the mindset of somebody that expects to have $500,000 and have to figure out how to get that $100,000 back up. Instead, you feel like you balling because your family used to make $20,000 and now you're living way above your means.
Hmm. And so I love that you said your financial self-image, how what you see yourself making is how you begin to behave and act, and you measure yourself accordingly. That is indeed something that I'm glad my listeners had an opportunity to take in. I want to make sure that we, because I know that as I have only a few more minutes with you, talk to me more around what do you see in the future around what you will bring to men and women and children around financial literacy. What's the next step? I know you already have this app around credit. What will be the next introduction?
Yes, well, what I would really like to bring is cohesiveness. Right now, I was fortunate to be named the one of the global icons of the United Nations for the most influential people in the African diaspora. And I take that title very seriously. I'm actually here in LA with them to kick off BET tomorrow, and we'll be a part of those ceremonies for BET and BET Her. And there's just a massive opportunity for us to be able to connect across the world where we have different banks, education systems, nonprofits, housing communities, and we basically need to be able to build a pipeline where we are actually sharing knowledge as well as resources with each other, so that we are not having the same kind of financial literacy conversation and battles year after year, and that it's an actual foundation being built and actually structure being formed.
Well, thank you so much, Angel. I know that the work that you have already begun with helping folks with credit, the transition you already have in terms of helping folks understand a better financial journey, all of those things have made such a difference in how, as you describe, those who are utilizing that tool and more importantly, engaging folks around conquering their fears over credit through your app. Great work and great work to come. Thank you so much for joining me today. I can't tell you how much I've appreciated having you with us and taking time out of your very busy schedule. Thank you so much. I'm so glad we had Angel Rich, ladies and gentlemen, on the line with us. She is the CEO. And as you already heard, she is doing some fantastic things with regards to financial literacy. The CEO of the Wealth Factory Incorporated. So glad to have had her. We are going to keep this show moving. I am so excited about having none other than Dr. Jolly in studio with me. I do know that we have a segment coming up with none other than Aaliyah Slappy about my father's business. But today, right now, we're going to talk about purchasing power with none other than my dear friend, Dr. Pamela Jolly. So glad to have you.
So glad to be here.
And so first and foremost, what I find is that just you and I having this conversation around purchasing power, could you explain the difference to the listeners between purchasing power and listening and buying power?
Sure. So buying power differs in different industries. And I think the definition of buying power that we're most comfortable with or most familiar with is out of the marketing industry, where we have a buying power. Nielsen speaks a lot about the buying power of the African American community reaching $1.2 trillion. But really, if you look at the definition of buying power, it's also referred to as excess equity. It's the amount of money an investor has available to buy securities. So I want you to think about your buying power, not so much as what you can afford from your income, your top line level, but your buying power is that excess income after it's covered your fixed expenses and your variable expenses that you have left over to be able to invest. It comes from something called your investment cash flow. Now, purchasing power is the value of a currency expressed in the terms of amount of a goods or services that one unit of money can buy. So it's an economic term. And I want you to think about it as, imagine your grandfather. And your grandfather earned a certain salary 40 years ago. Well, what he was able to afford with his purchasing power and what you are able to afford if you earn the same level of income would be vastly different. Because prices have risen. largely due to inflation, but also the cost of goods and services. So purchasing power is important because if you understand GDP, which is our gross domestic product, it's an equation, and simplified, it's consumption plus savings plus investments minus with imports minus exports. But consumption is our largest variable in GDP. And so when we talk about buying power and purchasing power, it's really important if you're on the road to wealth to make sure you understand the role that consumption needs to play in your equation for wealth. Because it is but one variable in a pretty long equation. Without savings and investment, your consumption is very limited. And so that's why I caution people to think of buying power as our marketing industry would like us to believe. Because if you truly believe that buying power is your ability to buy, you have no power if you can no longer afford to buy.
Say that again, please.
If you truly believe that buying power is just because you can afford to buy, it means that you lose your power when you can no longer afford to buy. So savings and investments are critical to be able to sustain your ability to consume. And there are certain levels of consumption that are important. There's consumption that I call it fixed costs. And fixed costs for me are costs that you have to pay regardless of whether or not you have a job that pays you an income. Variable costs are costs that are nice to pay. It's things that you want to do. On a good day, when you have a little bit of money or a lot of bit of money, you can prioritize those things because you can afford it. My father had a saying that a man can only see as far as he can afford.
Say that again.
A man can only see as far as he can afford. And so when you think about your friends and your family, and you think about the idea of pooling capital together to build wealth together, how far down the road can you afford to look? Because if consumption is the largest variable in your life and there is no savings, there is no investment, if you don't understand the difference between your fixed cost and your variable cost, if the word budget scares you, you're limiting your ability to look further down the road. And the reality is that there is so much more for us further down the road. My grandmother would always say, the best is yet to come. And so living a life where in good times and bad times, my grandmother would always say, the best is yet to come. So it taught me to always look for next and to prepare for next and to make sure that I could afford next. And so I want to encourage you, buying power, purchasing power. You can look those up on Investopedia and get the literal definition terms, but the applied meanings. Because let's be honest, consuming feels good. If you have a bad day, you might want to go out and buy something. Here's what my assignment is for you. Figure out what the cost of your bad day really is.
Oh, wow.
I know what the cost of my bad day is, and I know how many bad days I can afford to have in 1 month. And it changes my whole perspective of how I need to plan my month, because I really don't want to have to afford a bad day. But if I do, I have a reserve to be able to afford it. I need you to do the same. Think about the last bad day you had and think about what you consumed to make yourself feel better. Think about what made you feel bad. Think about what you bought and think about how long it made you feel good. 9 times out of 10, it's not a very long time. And so we've got to stop this feelings consumption. And we have to be much more strategic about how we consume. The last thing I'll say is that, you know, the market mirrors our purchase patterns. And so largely, I don't know if you've noticed it, but there's a lot of people who want subscriptions. They want to be a part of your operating cash flow. They want a little piece of money from you every month. And what happens when they get a little piece of money from you every month is that they are sustainable. The question is, are you sustainable? Are you making sure that you're putting a little piece of money away every month so that when you have a bad day or you have a good day or something you want to buy, you can afford it? Because as Vincent, the late Vincent Cresswell Jolly Sr. would say, you can only see as far down the road as you can afford. And I want you to see further than you're looking right now, because their best is yet to come.
This is why this segment becomes so critical and important to me and to the listeners, because I have an opportunity that doesn't always happen, and that is to dig in. She's not in an airport. she's not in a vehicle in transit. Today we actually get to pull some of this apart. And so how many, and I'm not asking you to be the statistician, but how many do you believe are locked into the buying power versus the purchasing power? And what steps would you give them to come out of that?
You know, seeing is believing. Mm-hmm. And so I think what really helps people prioritize what's important to them is to really write out the cost of being you.
Wow.
You know, a lot of people think $1 million is a lot of money. I'm a numbers girl. If you make $25,000 a year, and the average career lasts for about 40 years, $25,000 a year for 40 years gives you $1 million. So your entire lifetime, if you make at least $25,000 a year, which breaks down to $12 an hour at $40 a week with no vacation, that's $1 million. The question is, how are you going to spend that? Because if you look at the bigger picture, if you say, you know, all I'm going to make is $1 million my whole life, but if you build a plan, you can build wealth your way.
Mm.
It's all about that bigger picture. And that's what I want everyone to say. Take a look at your salary. Multiply that by 40. And look at that bigger picture. And be a shrewd manager of the income resources that you have coming in. Because the first key to building wealth is consistent income. And so if you can build a plan for your consistent income that goes beyond what you feel on a bad day or a good day and gets to what you truly need in terms of your fixed costs and some of your variable costs, then you can build wealth your way.
Consistent income to build wealth your way segues or leads to purchasing power versus buying power. How long before, you know, if you were to think about cultures, in particular the Black culture, how long does it take us to understand the difference between buying power and purchasing power and building wealth our way?
You know, it's difficult because, you know, as the last job I had in corporate America, I've been an entrepreneur for 14 years, and I'm very grateful for my journey with Torch. But I also loved corporate America, and one of my last jobs was a market research strategist. Mm-hmm. And so I used to take billions of pieces of data and create these algorithms and blow up these kinds of companies. And that was before Facebook and Twitter.
Right.
But now, with Facebook and Twitter, it's so much easier to figure out what it is that you really want. Hmm. Marketing is so strategic in figuring out how to get up in your pocket. So it is so critical,
yes,
that you have a plan and a strategy for what you want your pocket to do for you and your legacy and your road to wealth.
So can you, we're going to pause just there for a second, because I'm laughing because there are certain companies that the moment you make one purchase, they go gather everything that may be similar to that purchase and start offering it, not just in that moment, but subsequently every time you go back to that site. They then say, well, what about this? And well, what about that?
It's
and what about, yes, the upsell and the cross sell.
Yeah.
And so if you're not mindful, the upsell, the cross sell, and the convenience, Amazon has to be, I've heard folks say how scary it is with Amazon because now, you know, I can think about it and have it. They'll deliver it for me, not just next day, but sometimes same day. And all of that energy and excitement, especially on my bad day, mm-hmm. can cost me my purchasing power.
Yes. And what I want to add to this, because my work is centered around legacy wealth. Legacy wealth is different than wealth. Wealth for too many people is just limited to money. But when you put legacy in front of wealth, it adds a duration. Remember I told you your average career lasts for 40 years.
Yeah.
But it takes three generations to build legacy wealth. So it's not just about you and your relationship with money. It's your parents' relationship with your money and your grandparents' relationship with money.
Wow.
And the progress from your grandparents to your parents to you.
Mm.
I was very blessed with a mother who early on told me that she had an expectation that I was to do better than what she did for me and my brother. So that set a standard, a bar for me that I could not go further beyond. And so for us, when you talk about purchasing power in the African American community, if we do spend $1.2 trillion, the reality is that we earn about $947 billion, which gives us $240 plus billion in high interest rate short-term credit card debt. Mm. And so we are leveraging tomorrow to live for today. And a lot of that is a lot of emotions purchases. One of the things that my friends and my, particularly my mother teases me about, when I buy something, I read the directions.
Yes.
Because I want my full return on investment.
Yes.
So if you want to ask me a question about my $1,000 iPhone, which I'm not happy that it's $1,000, but I'm going to get $1,000+ use out of it because I'm going to make sure that I understand what it all can do. And so I'll be in the airport and they're like, how do you do that with your phone? And I'm like, why are you looking at what I'm doing with my phone?
Number one.
But if you took the time to learn what this tool that you invested in can do, then you can get the full use out of it. And so another assignment that I would love you to do is remember, go back to the last purchase that you made over $100 and ask yourself, did I read the instructions? Mm. Am I getting my full return on investment? What's the useful life of that $100 purchase? Because it's really important that we start looking at ourselves as the businesses we are. Because anyone and everyone with a financial statement is in business. Yet many of us don't look at that. We just look at ourselves based on consumption and buying power.
I could go on with purchasing power and with Dr. Jolly. And she keeps talking about with, as long as we have statements, we are a business. And I do need to get her in, cause I see that she has joined us, but I'm glad that Dr. Jolly is in the studio cause we're going to pick right back up. But speaking of business, and speaking of business, it is time for our segment about my father's business, brought to us by none other than Aaliyah Slappy. Aaliyah, are you out there?
Hello, I am here. I am here, and I'm taking notes on everything Dr. Jolly is saying.
So eventually I'm going to get the two of you in the studio at the same time.
I look forward to
talk about our wealth segment. So I know that you're going to bring us our small business component, and then I'd also love to have you join in this conversation about purchasing power from all aspects, right?
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
So Aaliyah, over to you about my father's business.
Indeed, indeed. I mean, I just have to still go back to the last thing that Dr. Jolly said. Anyone with a financial statement is a business. Do you know how huge that is? And if we saw ourselves and our household as a business, how much more effectively and efficiently would we operate it, you know? Mm. And so that alone has my mind already going. And we can really use that to kind of weave ourselves right into this, the topic today with purchasing power, but talking about excellence in business ownership, which means that no one can separate themselves from this conversation now because anyone with a financial statement is a business, right? And so we all can tie ourselves to this conversation now about small business, whether your small business is your household, whether it's the ministry that you run, whether it's the volunteer work that you do for that organization that's really looking to be sustainable, or it is an actual enterprise that God has dropped something in your spirit that you have turned it into a company. And so I think no one can now separate themselves from this conversation and what we're going to share today about excellence in business ownership and just excellence in ownership as a whole. And so it's imperative that we understand in a crowded marketplace that we really do operate with excellence. When every single day Amazon comes out with a new way to almost in some ways crush small businesses, right? And
yes,
to take over the industry, we have to become very strategic and intentional about our entrepreneurial efforts. And we have to operate them with excellence in order to carve out a space for ourselves in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And so excellence, it is the quality of being outstanding or extremely good. Extremely good, right? And excellence, or even the lack of excellence, reveals itself in our everyday business happenings, right? From the way we interact with our team or our staff, the way we communicate with folks, how we communicate with current or potential customers.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into an interaction with someone assuming you're not going to get the sale, there's already a way, an image you know, to take it back to our first, to Angel, there's an image we have about ourselves and our business sometimes that we often give off before we even make a sale. You know, we almost sometimes assume we're not going to get that sale, so we don't present ourselves with excellence, right?
Right.
Or deliver the pitch in a way that will really allow us to make that sale. Or the time commitment you make to projects or delivering on a product or service that you promised the customer, or even responding to an inquiry in a timely manner. I cannot emphasize how many times I've reached out to a small business and inquired about their service or their product, and days, sometimes weeks have gone by, and I don't get a response. That is not operating a business with excellence. Not following up is not excellence. And so as we talk about purchasing power, we can see that there is a direct connection that we should all see between operating our business with excellence and the buying power of consumers, especially consumers of color. And so like Dr. Jolly said, African-Americans, we make up about 14% of the population, but we're responsible for $1.2 trillion in purchases annually. And while there are many movements highlighting black business ownership and supporting businesses of color or businesses owned by women of color, you as an entrepreneur, you cannot rest on the idea that someone should purchase from you just because you are a black person or just because you're a woman-owned business.
Wow.
With more than 28 million small businesses in the U.S., you're competing with all those folks on a regular basis. And so while we have the Buy Black movement and all of these movements encouraging folks to buy from our small businesses, there's still more that you have to bring to the table.
Yes.
And that's where this idea of excellence comes into play. And every consumer, they see it. They see it in how you deliver your products. They see it in how you market what it is that you offer. That is seen for them. And so in order for us to operate with excellence, I want to highlight three things that we can all assess ourselves on within our businesses starting right now. And the first one is starting with focus, having a clearly defined vision that you have written down. If you have a vision for the business that you established years ago, it's time for you to refine it and align it with your current priorities and goals.
Aaliyah, would you do me a favor and just say that again?
Sure.
In particular, around the part where it said write it down. Nothing against a vision board. I'm all about it. But would you just emphasize the importance of writing it down?
Yes. Right. Taking that vision, taking it out of your head and putting it down on paper. And in some cases, those three key components that you want to accomplish in your business, you should be carrying those around in your wallet. So as you're going through your day, as you're even spending your own money, you see that in your wallet as you pull out a credit card, a debit card, or your actual dollars. And you're reminded of that vision, right? So that you know exactly what your priorities and your goals are. Because like Dr. Jolly said, a bad day can cost you, right? And it can cost you, especially in your business, especially when you're a solopreneur who's using your own personal financial investment in this enterprise.
Did you just create a new word? Did I hear you say a solopreneur?
It's out there. A solopreneur, party of one.
That's right.
One. You are a solopreneur.
Yes. But I'm smiling, but I want people to hear that, especially if you are a solopreneur. I have to use that, Aaliyah.
Yes, because Michelle, if you're a solopreneur, you really are using money from a full-time job, money that you've gotten from your grandmother investing in your business. That's the money that you're using to really get this vision off the ground. And if you don't have a clear idea of what that vision is with the priorities and goals that you refer back to on a regular basis, you can easily go from on Monday saying that you're selling widgets to on Tuesday saying you're starting a consulting enterprise and investing money in something that has nothing to do with the original vision. And so having this thing written down, something that you outline with priorities and goals, allows you to stay on track and allows you to focus. And then that allows you to operate with excellence.
My goodness. I hope the listeners are getting all of this, because Pam and I are nodding.
Yes. Yes.
And so you want to also make sure that you incorporate measures of success in the vision.
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself, what would success look like for my business in the next 3 months?
Okay.
A lot of times we think about a business plan and we're looking at 3, 5 years, 10 years from now. Oh, that's fine. What are you going to do in the next 3 months? How would you know that you have achieved it? Who's holding you accountable for achieving this? That's what matters right now. We can't get to 3 years, 5 years from now if we can't even get to the goals that we're supposed to accomplish in quarter one.
Yes.
You know? And so you want to make sure that you know what success looks like at every stage. So at the 3-month mark, at the half year mark, what does success look like for you and your business by December 31st? Before you go to a watch night service or to a celebration on New Year's, what is it that you want to say that you've accomplished for this year? And I think everybody who's listening, everyone who has a financial statement, who is now in the business, right? What does that vision look like for the remainder of this year? What can you write down as a clearly defined goal that you can refer back to, that you can put in your wallet to remind you of what you said you were going to accomplish? Yeah. That's how we move closer toward operating with excellence. Amen. And that's part one. And so, oh, go ahead.
No, we just said amen.
Exactly.
And so the second part, so once we've written down our vision, we have the priorities and goals that we've outlined. This next one gets a little uncomfortable for some folks, but it's something that you have to be strategic about in your business. You really have to look at leveraging technology. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not a tech business, you can leverage the use of technology, and that can lead to positive business performance. It can lead to you operating more efficiently and more cost-effectively within your company. You can even consider subscribing to cloud-based software tools for accounting, for customer management systems, supply chain management, or even managing your inventory. I meet with a lot of creative entrepreneurs, right? Someone who has a creative skill set that they've turned into a business. And oftentimes, what keeps them from really operating a full-fledged company is because they don't know about their inventory. They buy all kinds of painting tools or sewing tools because they love the craft, but they haven't transitioned their own self-image from just seeing themselves as a crafter to seeing themselves as an entrepreneur. When you go from just being a crafter to being an entrepreneur, you're willing to invest in an inventory management system because you realize every tool, every piece of equipment that I buy for this business is not just because I'm a crafter and I enjoy this for fun, but because this has to bring us a return in this company.
Right.
And so you have to leverage technology as a way to operate your business with excellence. And so a lot of these things will move you from just being a hobbyist to actually being a full-fledged entrepreneur. And so if time management is a challenge for you in your business, you can consider incorporating technology to help you manage time or even using a project management tool so that you can see how much it costs you to complete a project. One, so that you can charge your clients accordingly. And then you can also figure out where you need to tighten things up so that you can operate your business more efficiently. And then a bonus just with the leveraging technology. You have to make sure that if you're using technology in order to connect with your customers, you have to make sure that it's working effectively for your business. Mm. You need to walk through your business website and make sure if someone is going on your site to make a purchase, that the purchasing component of your website actually works, that function actually works, where someone can enter their credit card information, they can put in their billing information, and they can actually make that sale. Or that if there's an option on your website for someone to sign up for your newsletter, that when they put in their information, there's an email that's going to come back to you, back to them. All of these functions, we put them in place and we make comments like, I'm not into technology, and we just assume that they're magically going to work without going through it as though you're the user, as though you are your customer who has to experience your business through your website. Mm-hmm. So I challenge everyone who has a business website, walk through as though you are your customer and see what they're seeing and what they're experiencing by using the technology that's tied to your business. I meet a number of folks who have really great social media pages, and then you click on their website, and their website, while it may be attractive, it's not functional. Mm-hmm. You may click on the Contact Us tab, and that email never goes back to the entrepreneur, right? Mm-hmm. And so you want to make sure that as you're leveraging technology and that you're operating your business with excellence, that the technology you use as your first introduction to your business, to the consumer, that it is really working for you and that it is functional. And do we have time for one more?
Yes, ma'am. We've got 2 minutes.
Okay. I'll be really quick, and then I can pick this back up next month. You want to make sure also when you're thinking about operating with excellence that you develop strategic partnerships within your business. When you're thinking about purchasing power as a small business, you may want to look at establishing a purchasing consortium where you partner with other small businesses to make certain purchases. And that can yield volume discounts because now you're buying a larger amount of a certain item rather than just a smaller amount that you would buy as an individual business. And too often as small businesses, we look inward. And so we're not looking to establish strategic partnerships because we don't want others to know what we're doing and all of these things. But instead, think about how you can be strategic about building these relationships so that you can have long-term success in your business. And something like a purchasing consortium can help you build a relationship with someone where the two of you can go to a larger company to make a purchase, buy in a larger volume, and you guys both get to benefit from having that lower cost for that item that you purchased. And so I want to just close with one quote here. Excellence is never an accident. Mm. It is the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, skillful execution, and the vision to see obstacles as opportunities. And this has been Aaliyah Slappy, and it's been About My Father's Business. Thank you.
You most certainly have been About Your Father's Business. Could you just highlight one more time those 3 points, just what they were, one more time for the listeners?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sure. That first point is focus, having a clearly defined vision that you have written down with priorities and goals for the short term, 3 months, half a year, 1 year, 3 years, 5 years. The second one is leveraging technology, using technology to be effective in your business, and then managing the technology and making sure that's functional, the technology you use for your company. And then thirdly, developing strategic partnerships, and specifically around creating purchasing consortiums so that you can buy items at a lower cost because you're buying with a higher volume along with other businesses.
Aaliyah, I can't begin to thank you for sharing operating with excellence, not operating effectively. Because, you know, there's something about, you know, efficient and effective. We heard that a great deal in our corporate world. But excellence is just a very different standard.
Yes, it is.
It is just a very different, and I have Pam over here with me. We're both nodding. It just requires so much more of us. But all that we sow into excellence, the reward that we reap from that level of work, it's immeasurable. It really is immeasurable. The other piece that I like that you did share is in that quote, excellence is never an accident. Now, that's the part I caught. I know there's so much more that was said, I heard it, but I don't have shorthand. But excellence is never an accident. And folks mistake that when someone else has achieved something, that it happened overnight. Dr. Jolly, I really want to get where you were. So tell me what you did, not so that I can do what you did, but so I can find a shorter version to get there. Yeah. Aaliyah, please go over your 3 points and then let me figure out what I don't need in those 3 points so I can get there.
Right.
Sometimes we're so focused on the destination that we miss everything that will keep us there and then fuel us to get even to the place we're supposed to be after that.
Or even if you do skip some steps, you get there, but following Aaliyah's points, you don't know where to focus.
Yeah.
Because you done follow the vision that's not yours. And so, you know, what she talked about was so critical because writing that vision and making it plain, you know, I talked to so many different business owners and the thing that I often ask is, you know, for me, vision has different dimensions, right? It's not just right now. Okay. So what's next? Okay. So to get to next, what must you do every day to get there? And then once you get to next, what's beyond that? You know, and so it's important to think through the steps so that you can prepare your business, so that the technology investments that she's suggesting you make, you know how to maximize them. When I heard what you said, Aaliyah, you know, so many people think the Twitter and the social media is the biggest thing.
Right.
If that's your marketing, that's your lifeblood of business, but you need to have a business behind the tagline.
Right.
And so if you're going to pay Infusionsoft and a whole bunch of other companies, which, you know, I pay every month, but you have to make sure that the whole entire thing is thought through so that it does end up in a sale, because that is the primary purpose of business, which is to build wealth for mm-hmm. its owner.
So I laugh because I've heard everything from solopreneur to hobbyist to, you know, even what Dr. Jolly just said. And as much as we are smiling about it, let me share something with you very quickly about how serious what these women are saying. I ran a $5 billion business with 500 employees. When I stepped into this new world of entrepreneurship, the first thing Dr. Jolly said is, I am so excited about all of your transferable skills, but now let me explain to you the new world that you have entered. And so what I had as transferable skills, did I know how to write a business plan? Yes, I had written it for someone else's business for multiple years. When it came to me writing my own, it took me weeks to write my own. And that's because I had to keep revisiting, well, what is the vision?
Yes.
What is the vision? Am I clear? What will I do? How will I get? And when I first came to Pam and she says, well, what is, I'm laughing now, but it wasn't funny and it didn't feel good. She says, so what's your what's your mission statement? And I gave what had to be every bit of a paragraph. And I know better. So I knew to do better, right? And Aaliyah's laughing because I'm like, I came from a business world where I could in 30 seconds tell you who I am, what I do, here's how it's going to get done. And yet and still, I have now transferred into this new role and I am taking 20 minutes to explain my business. If you don't get clear, if you don't sit still and have the patience with yourself, get past being disappointed, get past whatever it is you think you knew and understood, and recognize that there are some things that will be exposed about your weaknesses. And it's very different coming into this arena. It doesn't mean that you're not talented.
No, not at all.
Right. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden God has stripped you of your talents and you entered and you went, oh, yes, you said to come and do this. And you're now saying, well, did you really say do this? It means that you have to be still and then connect with folk who actually are running a thriving business. Very That's nice. The first thing you need to do.
Yeah.
If the reason I have Aaliyah and Dr. Jolly on these segments is because they are proven. Why take advice from someone who is an employee when you are the employer? What are you talking about? Yeah. They're talking about receiving a check and you're talking about paying a check. It's just different conversations.
And different levels of responsibility.
And different. And it doesn't mean that you dismiss them as a friend. It just means from different perspective. They're complaining about their boss. You are a boss.
Right.
Different conversations. And so you have to listen to the things that we were just discussing, which means everybody
with a financial statement is in business. And so be about your business. Mm. And, you know, often if you are an entrepreneur and you're hearing us, one of the things that's really important, I can tell quickly when an entrepreneur doesn't have a clear sense of their own personal business needs. Because they think they can afford certain risks.
Right.
That aren't sustainable.
Right.
And so the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. So if your business is all out of whack, so is your personal business. Yep. And so I want you to get your personal business in order so that it can mirror, reflect what this actual business, so that you can have a business to business transaction between what you own and who you are. If you self-identify as your business, oftentimes you're looking at its finances from a very personal perspective. Mm. And that's really, that happens often in our communities. So let's overcome that. Let's be about our father's business. Let's be about the legacy wealth business. And let's focus on what's important. Consumption is one variable. But savings and investments are critical as well. Cash flow is king for a business, and being able to manage it determines whether you are successful and you are sustainable, or you're on that word that I rebuke, which is hustle.
Mm. We are going to close out. This is exactly why I love having Wealth Wednesdays with Aaliyah Slappy and Dr. Pamela Jolly. I'm going to tie this up in a bow and then do my invitation, not invocation, invitation. The scripture we read today said, though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard. Power belongs to God. Do not get lost with the fact that I can have a hustle or be a hobbyist because I have a nest egg. You will lose that in nanoseconds if you don't have a vision that's clear with measurable outcomes and you are not about doing the daily work to generate revenue. It will all evaporate because you're making poor decisions. I am grateful for today's show and Purchasing Power. I am grateful for those who were on Facebook Live. I am going to give one shout outs to all of you who are on Facebook Live, and thank you. I did get a note that said you can, you know, you don't have to carry around those 3 points about your business in your wallet. You can put them in your iPhone. That's part of technology. So if you ever get lost, you have them all the time. So thank you, Jonathan Tyler, for that. Purchasing Power. There's a significant difference between the two, so I need you to get on board with that and know the difference between purchasing power and buying power. And hear Dr. Jolly when she says, it, that limits your power to only when you can afford to buy it.
Yeah, you can only see as far down the road as you can afford.
Yeah.
And so take the blinders off. Write a financial projection. Be about your business. Don't just consume. Save. Definitely invest, and let's build wealth together, because it is a group process. So the more of us that do it, the more traction we'll get in our communities, and our communities need it.
Thank you, Dr. Jolly. Thank you, Aaliyah Slappy. This is Michelle Lawrence, your host for Michelle Speaks. We are weeks away from A Virtuous Woman. And if you want to hear more about what it means to get in line with your finances, when you hear about a virtual woman, she is not just steeped spiritually and grounded in the word. She was a business owner. Hear me. She owned land and she produced products from her hand. She took care of her house. She took care of the community and she took care of herself. July 12th through the 14th at the Sheraton and King of Prussia. Join us as we go through this journey. I thank you. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you and to talking to you again on next week. Till then, be blessed. Bye bye.
But it's how you grow. It ain't about trophies, but getting back on your feet, walking in your glory. So come on, let's go.